We come to our Bible reading tonight, and we read of two individuals who came and adored Jesus as a child when he was presented in the temple. It's Luke 2, verses 22 to 38. Luke 2, 22 to 38. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and to the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She'd lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God, and she spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. This is the word of the Lord.
How'd I go? Not that well from your response. Okay. Everyone has surprises. Some people like them. I was super organized. You know how you're supposed to book the time off of work before you book the plane tickets? Well, I did that. Christy and I had been married for a bit over a year, and I was teaching up in Darwin. It was October, and I was so well prepared that I was thinking about the next winter or up in Darwin, the next dry season, and we wanted to spend a month up in Canada. And so I had 3 weeks of school holidays, so I applied for 2 weeks of leave without pay so we could extend our holiday. And then in between applying for that and finding out that it had been granted, we got a surprise. We found out that we were pregnant, well, Christy was pregnant with our first child. Exciting stuff. We were stoked, overwhelmed at this prospect of a new life entering our lives. And we had fun telling people. We put a lot of creative effort and energy into telling them, and made sure that the most significant people found out face to face. And that posed a bit of a problem because we were up in Darwin and most of our family were down here in Adelaide, and we wanted to tell them face to face, and so we waited a bit longer than we would have otherwise. We got a bit of a scare. We had a very organized friend of ours sent us a Christmas card quite early, and we received it while we were still in Darwin, and we opened it up, and in it she congratulates us on the impending birth of our first child, and we're like, what? How does she know? Our parents don't even know yet. And if she knows, who else does? I'm sure many of us have found out things via Facebook that we would have rather found out in a more direct manner. But the point was, we wanted everyone to know that we're expecting a baby. However, we wanted to know them to know at the right time and in the right order. And we chose very carefully who it might be that would have the ultimate privilege of being able to tell others. In short, we were control freaks. It's in light of how much we wanted to control this information that the story we just saw presented so well by our Impact Kids. Can we give it up for the stop motion animation we just saw? Year sixes and sevens of Seeds Kids. Awesome work. The story of the great announcement. History's greatest birth announcement. I'm sure you'll agree. Not only was this the most significant birth in all of history, but the way that it was done. I mean, come on. I think we had some pretty sweet ideas for how we communicated the joyous news to our friends. In fact, this is the reaction of two of Christy's best friends. When they first heard the news, Christy's like, I want to take a snap of you guys. Christy's pregnant. Click. Captured the moment beautifully. However, it is very difficult to compete with God. So God uses an amazing means to tell this amazing news. Angels, the glory of the Lord shining around the recipients of the news. It's pretty huge. And whilst the news they delivered was history changing and the way they delivered it was amazing, it's worth noting how astounding and surprising and ridiculous the recipients of that news were. It was shepherds. A bunch of shepherds were the ones that received this news. It wasn't priests. It wasn't the Israelite kings or prophets at this time. It was a bunch of shepherds. You see, shepherds were viewed differently in different stages of Israel's history. There were times where they were almost esteemed, but this was a time, first century Palestine, they were utterly despised to the point where in the Mishnah, Judaism's written record of the oral law describes them in some pretty bleak terms. It describes them in one place as incompetent. In another place, it says that no one should ever feel obligated to rescue a shepherd who has fallen into a pit. That's not the sheep, that's the shepherd that's fallen into a pit. Shepherds. Ridiculous. But it was these shepherds to whom God communicated this amazing news. And not only were they amongst the first to hear this news, but they apparently had freedom to communicate it to others and receive the announcement in such a spectacular way. And then being able to communicate it to others complicates things, because who's going to listen to the story of a shepherd? Surely God would choose someone with authority to deliver his message. But it's right at this point in the story that Luke, who's writing all this stuff down, he says, Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. In other words, she had no clue what was going on, but figured it was important and she should remember it. Let's look at the first words that were spoken by that first angel as he addressed the shepherds. Fear not. In other words, you should be afraid. Like, this should be freaking you out right now. An angel, the glory of the Lord, like, this is an intense scene. And then there's three sentences that the angel conveys. The first one pretty much says, this is good, and it's good for everyone. And then goes on to say the long-awaited, much-anticipated, desperately needed arrival of the Christ has just happened. And finally, go check it out. So the angel delivers massive news, but what hope did the shepherds have of taking all this in? I'm sure that you've experienced it yourself. Like, when there's big news, whether it's good news or bad news, if it's big enough, we can't take it all in. And we'll often have people say, I don't think it's sunk in yet. Some things take a while to sink in. I think back to the process of discovery that I had with who I now know to be Esther. At the time, it was all a surprise. I had the surprise of hearing the heartbeat, of seeing the ultrasound, and of her moving around. And Christy's feet grew an extra size during pregnancy. Surprise! The waters broke 3 weeks before she was due. Surprise. Labor can take a really, really long time. Surprise. Labor results in a baby. Surprise. It took so long and I was so focused on the agony of my wife that I forgot that there was actually going to be a baby at the end of this thing. And it was a shock to see this baby appear. And it was a girl. That was a surprise. Here's the pic of Esther early on. I cried before she did. Surprise. I wasn't able to stay overnight in the hospital. So as I was driving away, I took 15 minutes to drive the 6 minutes to our house because I'm just weeping the whole way there. I was surprised how hard it hit me. There was joy, but there was also this deep sadness that I did not see coming. Sadness with the various friends and family who had lost babies and those that had had trouble conceiving. Sometimes there is that tension where we're not totally free to share good news with others because of their pain. But here is a story that we don't need to hold back from telling others about. This can be everyone's story. No one need miss out. Picture the most faithful Christian that you know or that you know of. The same thing they experience with Christ is available to you. And it's available to everyone that you lock eyes on and those that you are yet to. Let me tell you, without a shadow of a doubt, that there is hope for you. And there is hope for those that you care about. There is hope for those in your family, hope for those that you work with, hope for those that you go to school with, hope for those that you've long given up hope for. The angel said, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Note that he didn't say, I bring you good news of great guilt. It's not good news of great expectations upon your shoulders, or not good news of great burden, another brick in your backpack. No, this is good news of great joy. Joy that will be for all the people. Oh, that Jesus would impact each of us more than Esther has impacted me. May today be a day of Jesus sinking in more. Right after Esther was born, I experienced something that apparently is not common. At least no one's ever told me that they experienced the same thing that I did. But every morning that I woke up, surprise, I've got a daughter. I'm a dad. And there were some mornings where I woke up to the sounds of her crying, so I picked up on it pretty quick. But there were other mornings where I am sure it was literally minutes. And then I'm like, I'm a dad. It just hit me. It took a long time to sink in. I don't know if that lasted for a week or whether it was months, I have no concept, but it was a good surprise. So if that took time for it to sink in, how much more is there to sink in when it comes to the things of Christ? You see, the big things for Esther have been big things for me. I knew these things were coming, but it was still a surprise the first time that she rolled over, the first steps that she took when she first said my name, both Dad and Shane. The first time she swam, when she started to ride a bike without training wheels. There was that time that Christy had to leave playgroup early after Esther had hit every single other child there at least once. That was a surprise. Here's a pic of around that time, and it was one of the first times of her singing on stage. I actually find this photo quite funny. And it just illustrates that sometimes the magic moments for us as parents aren't quite so magic for the children that are living them out. I've been impacted because Esther is a very large part of my life. Here's a more recent pic taken on her 9th birthday. How much more should Christ be central to our lives and impact us? It's Christmas tomorrow, and at Christmas we remember the birth of Jesus. And I want to suggest that if it doesn't seem like a big deal, if God with us doesn't astound you, then you're not grasping the significance. It's easy for this story to become so familiar. Many of us have heard it since we were very young. If God with us is no longer surprising, or indeed has never been surprising, look again. Maybe you've been inoculated to this story, given just enough of it at some point that when confronted with more of it, It doesn't affect you. Let's look back at this story, the one that we've seen in part thanks to the Impact Kids, and we've heard in part thanks to the Bible reading. This discovery of God with us came very differently to the famous characters involved in the original Christmas story, but everyone got a surprise. Everyone had at least one of those moments. Some had more lead time than others. You had Mary and Joseph that both had angels, the shepherds that got angels as well. Herod finds out there's a new king. The wise men see the star, but it's too big. It's too much to grasp. We then read about Simeon. How's this? God tells him he's not going to die until he sees the long-awaited, much-anticipated Christ. And we don't know how long it is between being informed of that news and getting called by the Holy Spirit into the temple that day, seeing the baby, taking this baby that was going to be the savior of the world into his arms. And then Anna, the prophetess, who's in the temple day and night, fasting and praying. She'd been preparing herself for years to meet the Christ. But you have such diverse characters in this mix. You have from the holy Anna to the despised shepherds. But this was good news of great joy for all people. And included in all people was something that's articulated in what Simeon prayed. It's so far beyond the comprehension of the Jews. Shepherds being included was enough of a shock. But the mystery kept hidden for ages and generations that this good news of great joy was also for the Gentiles. For everyone else on earth, all the non-Jews were included. For me, for you, for every single person you have ever seen. This is good news of great joy. And for those of us who don't think we've prepared ourselves to meet Jesus, or don't think we've done it well, think about this. What were the shepherds doing? They're working. Watching their flocks by night, just their regular job, and they were interrupted in the most spectacular way. So whether you were like the wise man or like Simeon and you've been diligent in your search and your preparation, or whether you're like the shepherds and boom, suddenly you're there, there is good news of great joy for you. This is for you. They all arrived in the presence of Jesus in different ways and probably with different motivation. However, all of them responded in worship. Of the wise men, it is said, and going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts. And about the shepherds, they returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. We also hear from Simeon and Anna that they came and adored him. Come, let us adore him. They lifted up praise to the God of heaven. So however it is that you have come to hear of this good news of great joy that is for all people, that is found in Jesus, may you respond in worship. The one who was in very nature God, but did not consider equality with God something to cling to, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant and being found in human likeness. It's ridiculous. The author of life coming down and being totally dependent on his mum. He came as a fetus, totally dependent on his mum. He's born totally dependent on human beings for his survival. This is the author of life, the one that put the stars in the sky and the planets on their course. This is the one who made himself vulnerable in that kind of way so he could experience everything that we do. He could identify with us, and then he could take the burden that we could never possibly bear. He took our sin to the cross, and he paid the price we could never, ever hope to pay. He became like us so we could become like him. This magnificent Jesus who changes everything, who has conquered death, never to die again. I really have one thing that I want to leave you with, and it's this, that people impact us. I've told you about my daughter who has impacted me significantly in my life, but we have the option to let Jesus, the opportunity to let Jesus impact us more than any other person. When someone does you wrong, when you feel like responding in anger or in frustration, how about we let Jesus influence us more than that other person who's just done us wrong? How about we turn things right around, upside down? So let's be surprised. Let's let Jesus sink in and let's worship. I'm going to pray. Father, thank you so much that you sent Jesus to be God with us. Thank you for the amazing truths that we've just pondered. I ask that they would sink in, that we would gain greater understanding on who Jesus is, on what he has done, and what that means for us. And we celebrate and thank you that this is good news of great joy for all the people, for every single person here and everyone that we know. In Jesus' name, amen.